The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
This is episode 14 of This Is Us 2 with Mary and Blake.
A romantic gesture of this magnitude is only effective if it is directed at the love of your life. All right, the end of Notting Hill completely falls apart if Hugh Grant thinks that Julia Roberts is just kind of aight. All right, then he's just kind of annoying her at a press conference. Right?
I've never seen that movie.
Shut up. What?
Never.
What? All right. Kevin, close your eyes.
What are you gonna do?
Close
your eyes. All right. Now I want you to picture the love of your life. Imagine that you have 30 seconds to win her back. One shot, three sentences. What are those sentences, and who are you saying them to? There it is.
Got it.
I got it. All right.
We're doing this. Toby, okay. You're a stud. You know that?
That's what I've been trying to tell you. Oh, we're moving?
Okay. Get in the car.
From Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC, so sit back, relax, and let's all have a great cry. Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and little do you know, I am a massive sucker for all things rom-coms, and Notting Hill is easily one of my favorites.
Really?
Like, not even close.
Wow, that's good to know.
I just, Rhys DeFans in that movie is great. Hugh Grant is great. Julia Roberts.
I watched
Roberts.
It once in my life, and I've forgotten almost all of it.
Oh my God, are you serious? Shut up.
Is that what we're watching tonight?
I think we might have to watch some Notting Hill tonight.
We might have to, and I hope that this podcast encourages some of you to watch it, because I definitely need to. So, you know, a lot of this episode took place about birthday parties, and a lot of this episode, so this is my story time. It's my week for story time, and there was a lot in this episode that I was like, yep, like I've been to a pound class where you like pound exercise, a drug,
yeah,
Blake
too.
To it. It wasn't as emotional as Kate's. We'll get to that. But the birthday parties and how much time and effort the Pearsons put into these birthday parties. Of course, you know, the big three and Big Daddy share the same birthday. So they had this wonderful tradition. And it just made me think back to how awesome my parents were, especially my mom, with the time and effort that she put into our birthday parties, and how you don't even realize it and you probably don't appreciate it that young as a kid. And my mom had this book, I think it was like a Penny Whistle. I feel like the name Penny was somewhere in this book, but it was all about these unique types of birthday parties that you could have. So one year I had a backwards birthday party. The invitation was written backwards. The kids had to come in their clothes backwards. We ate cake first.
Oh my God.
Okay. The games were done backwards. Like, it was a straight up backwards party, and it was freaking amazing.
Oh my gosh.
We had a bike party where all the kids brought their bikes to my house, and we like pimped out the bikes with those little beads that went on your tires. The ding, 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 ding,
yeah,
ding, these ones. And added streamers. We had all these birthday parties, and I remember one birthday party. I don't know. I was probably overtired and cranky, and I was pouting, and I had to have time out.
And my on your birthday?
Birthday. This is probably, I'm probably like at the ripe, wonderful age of like 7.
Oh my
like
God.
I'm still a little kid. But this episode just made me realize, like, parents put their heart and soul into this to make the kids feel special. I mean, granted, these three, the big three, they're celebrating on their own day, mm-hmm. and they each had their own unique personality, and they went all out in their own 80s way. So much of it was I was laughing with Blake. I was like, I love 80s parties, the original one. It was just like pin the tail on the dark donkey.
Right.
Then they had to go big. But it's made me now as a parent excited for our children's interests and our children's upcoming birthday parties. We've had it easy going. The kids are young. They're only 3 and 5.
I think we've had one good theme party. We had one.
Yeah, How to Train Your Dragon.
Yep, that was it.
That was hardcore. We had Viking helmets for all of the children.
Yep. We did streamers. I bought all the dragon stuff.
All of it. All of the stuff.
That was really cool.
That was a Pinterest party. And then I was like, not anymore.
Well, never again.
That's when I was like, we're going to have to cool down because sometime, at some place, we're going to be having a backwards party. And it made me think of my mom.
Oh. All right, so we wanted to actually start this off real quick saying thank you for your patience and thank you for your understanding. We have not had an episode of This Is Us 2 in quite a while. I think it's almost been a month, and we are actually way behind schedule in yes. order to meet up with expectations.
We actually can't watch Notting Hill. We need to watch another episode tonight.
I know, we have to watch like the next 4 episodes tonight. Unfortunately, I got pretty sick, and I had to have surgery.
Yeah,
and
unexpected.
For those of you who don't know or don't follow us on a regular basis, you may not know already, but I had to have my gallbladder removed, and I feel wicked old saying that. I feel like I'm 50 saying that, and I got my gallbladder.
50 is not wicked old. You do realize
60,
we're closest
70.
To 50.
We're closer to what?
I'm closer to 50 than 20.
I don't know.
I'm 14 years away from 50.
Oh, you're like
I'm
halfway.
16 years
you're
away from
you're
20.
Like half, you're halfway.
I'm closer to 50. It's not wicked old.
Well, whatever. You know what I mean. I feel I still consider myself like I'm 22. Okay,
there you go. I'm feel like you're invincible.
I'm 35, and I still feel like I'm 22. Anyway, so thank you everybody for putting up with this, and I'm sorry for the big delay, but it is what it is.
That's what it was.
I actually had this thing called a road to recovery that I had to go on, and I put
it's
everybody's
been a long road, man.
Hopes on damper a little bit. Okay, so you know,
right, let's get into the show.
Yeah, let's do that. The title for this episode was 3 sentences, and we obviously know why. As we heard at the beginning portion of this episode, I still can't believe you have not seen Notting Hill in that long.
Whatevs, man.
Oh, my God.
We'll watch it at some point.
And, you know, the husband with the paralyzed wife, and he has to pick her up and put her in the... Oh, man. All right, the director was Chris Koch, or Koch, or Cook, however you want to say it. He has directed Young Sheldon.
Okay.
That show, Life in Pieces, Modern Family, another... tie to that show Grandfather, to the one with John Stamos, Scrubs, and The Last Man on Earth. The writer was actually 2 writers. There was Joe Lawson, who wrote The Game Plan for the first season, and also Becca Bernstetter, who wrote the episode Career Days. So, my love.
Yep. You ready? You ready?
3 sentences. What are you giving it for your Lemonade rating?
4.8.
Really?
I enjoyed it quite a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy smokes. Oh.
Kate cries, I cry. How about you?
I'm giving it a 4.5.
Nice. A good solid episode.
You know, I enjoyed it. I had fun with it.
Yeah.
Some things in here that I'm...
Yeah, and we both do agree.
I think.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we're both on the same page when it comes to it. So why don't you...
let's remind people who haven't watched this episode, or if you're watching it along with us, here's our GBGs, our good, bads, and greats. My good, holy freaking smokes, Kevin has an ex-wife, and they were childhood sweethearts, and they sat together and watched The Princess Bride. That is part of my top 5 favorite movies of all time. Had you asked me until like I was 19 what my favorite movie was, it was The Princess Bride. So that is my good.
Mowage.
Love all of this. Mowage. How is The Princess Bride not one of our sound cues? We're going to need to fix that.
Anybody want a peanut?
My bad. Holy smokes. Who's this freaking creep at the fat camp? What are you doing? Okay? Like, so freaking awkward, Duke, okay? And Kate and Toby, kind of still in a relationship, but then they went through a lot of stuff, and then they broke up, and now they're engaged, and now we're throwing someone else into this pot. I just can't emotionally handle this situation. It's full of drama, and he's a total scumbag. Had someone said that to me, I might have found, like, a pile of horse manure and thrown it in their face. He was like, he crossed the line, man. Made me really skeeved out. And I hope that Kate is not lonely in the nether regions and wants a little rumpy pumpy with him, because he is not approved in my book. Am I great? The drumming, the Vogue dancing flashback of Kate and her dad as he tries to learn how to Vogue because everyone left a party, the flashes of the funeral, the screaming at the drumming. Mm-hmm. That is my great. All right, let's get your GBG.
All right, my good was the running joke of, can we get a dog? I just thought that was great. I thought it was very funny. I thought it was very real. It kept coming. I came up at least three times, once in the beginning, once in the middle, once in the end. And I like it because it's a great reminder of how, I want to say great, and that's, you know, that's just being redundant, but it's just how special of a relationship both Rebecca and Jack have, especially when it comes in contrast to how well they worked together for the party. And, you know, they could have went at each other's throats for the whole thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They could have had this conflict of, like, being at odds with each other the whole time. But no, they didn't. They were just like, okay, we're going to nail this. We're going to work together with it. And it was a lot of fun to watch them go throughout all of these three little parties together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Princess Bride and Madonna, and then it was magic. But getting back to the joke, it just gave levity to the harsh reality of not being able, or at least for now, not being able to have another baby. So instead of the baby, it was the dog, and they kept going back to it. I thought that was very cute. And it would have been easy for Jack to be like, F you, Rebecca, I want to have another kid. But the writers didn't go down that road, which I'm very thankful for, because that's just forced conflict, something that you can obviously tell that they're looking to do something. But seeing them work together was great. The bad. This bad. This is the thing that brought it down to a 4.5.
Yep.
I was going to even go as low as like 4.2.
Because otherwise this episode was right on up there with
it was
some five-ish material.
That freaking Duke, that, oh my goodness gracious. I mean, he's like flirting with her, but he's a creep about it. And it's even worse when he's an employee.
That's
at
it.
At the camp. And listen, I was okay with it at first. Like, I kind of understood it because I thought they were going to go down this road of making Duke be a dick on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he was using that to motivate Kate because he knew as an employee, that's what she needed.
Yeah.
Like, she needed someone to tell her, you're just wasting your time.
Yeah.
This place don't work.
Yep.
You know? And I think it's fine for the show to depict a character who is a dick like that, but trying to argue that his behavior, this dickish behavior, is lovable, or this is where how their relationship should start, and like legitimately say this is the kind of person that he is not a good choice.
No.
And like, this reeks of forcing something, forcing a conflict that doesn't need to happen.
I'm in cabin 13 when you're ready.
Like, come on. Like, stop it.
Okay, what's your great? I'm so grossed out by Duke.
Had he done what he had done? Had he been a dick, and then she came back and said thank you, and then he laid it on nice and thick, like, it's okay, that's what I'm here for, you know?
Yeah.
And then there was, like, this little bit of connection there. I could kind of get it.
Yes. Like, if he was like the bad cop, like the hippie little huggy, warm people of like, don't worry, this isn't militaristic. It's like some of the people. But then there's people like Duke who are like tough on you.
But you have a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And then they're there to help you. Like, I get that.
Not to check you out and to invite you over for rumpy pumpy.
But even if that did happen, even if there was like some kind of connection there, I would have been okay with it. had it gone that way. But whatever. But hands down, the best moment of the episode is actually a derivative of this, which is Kate, and she has this breakthrough, like I said, while she's doing the drumming thing, that something that you made me do at one point in my life. And I had no idea what I was doing. And all these biddies everywhere, all around me, they all know the movements. They all know the drums.
Yep.
And I'm the one jabroni that's like 6'4", 250, trying to do these, whatever. But Chrissy Metz did an amazing job as she portrays that kind of catharsis and that kind of pain. And they also flash back to the funeral for Jack.
Yeah.
And it's our first glimpse at this funeral. And when we can confirm when he dies, the kids are about that age, mm-hmm. of, at least that's what they appear to be, about 15, 16, 14, that whole area.
Yeah, mid-teens.
So that's what I thought was the great part of this episode.
Let's break things down by the big three,
okay,
if you don't
mind.
What
do you got?
Because we've already just like, you know, let's just get it straight. Jack and Rebecca, we love you. We want to be you sometimes when we grow up. Mm-hmm. We just love on you. All right.
Yes.
Randall and Williams.
that's
right?
Simple.
Point, mic drop. Randall and Williams, whole day. Williams showing up at Randall's work, just, hey, let's go out for lunch, when Randall is so focused on his job.
Right.
And really, it turns out to be this lifelong dream that William had about being in a cool car. And then you find out he doesn't even know how to drive.
Oh, I know.
And at some point in that conversation, you see Randall pause. You know, and I feel like I have this pause every once in a while as a busy parent. I have this pause when our kids hug us. Like, I may be having a crazy day, and then they'll be like, give me a hug. And I had read something once that said, when you're hugging your child, let your child be the one to let go first. And mm-hmm. I have now applied that to, like, hugs with anybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, let the other person be the release. And it's just,
except me.
It stops you. You
except
could hug
everyone
forever.
Except me.
You could hug forever.
Yeah, I'd just sit there. I'd go to work with you.
Yeah, you would. I love you, but you would.
I'm a hugger.
You are a hugger. But having William talk about this lifelong dream and then Randall teaching him how to drive around that parking lot.
Right.
Oh.
I was waiting for Randall to just freak out. Mm-hmm. And Randall to be like, Dad, what the hell? I got things going on.
I've got a deadline. I have this major thing for work.
A self-imposed deadline, by the way.
Yes.
And he's trying to beat up this other jabroni that's, you know, at work. And mm-hmm. I loved that part when he's walking by and he's like, hey, is he going to lunch? He's like, yeah, it's only a half a lunch. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, and as a man, I can get on board with that. Because F you, bro. Like, it's just competition. I'm a super competitive guy. I can totally see the masculinity in this whole scene, in the whole thing with Randall. I really liked it. But seeing him take that moment and stop and recognize that his dad just kind of wants to hang out. And his dad has this dream of drinking an egg cream, rocking a cool
that
pair of sunglasses.
So gross.
I know it does sound
it
wicked
sounds
gross.
So gross.
And listening to his favorite song, trying to be like that guy he grew up, you know, admiring.
Yes.
I thought that was a very sweet moment. Something that, again, shows why Randall is a great character.
Mm-hmm.
And Sterling K. Brown, my Binky, keeps going and just
yes.
rocks this show.
Now, are you nervous that William's going to die the next episode? Because I'm kind of like one of those people that when someone's like, this is on my bucket list, I've always wanted to do this before I die. I'm like, oh, man, are you going to die in this episode?
No.
But luckily he didn't.
Here we go. I think here's a
hypothesis.
Well, you know, a hypothesis, sure. You know, a theory, if you will. I'm calling that William dies in the penultimate episode.
Okay.
That's what helps propel us into the finale.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
All right. I can get down with that.
So, you know, the funny thing is,
I just
is like,
gonna need tissues.
You know, during that party for Randall, you know, where none of his friends show up.
The magician party?
Yeah,
three of his friends showed up.
Three of his friends showed up and no one else did because no one liked him. No, none of them were their friends. But you had that stupid, silly rule where if you have a party, you got to invite every kid in your class.
Oh,
it's so stupid. Because then it just makes you feel even worse. Because like you invite everybody and no one shows up.
Except the summer kids. The summer kids get to be exclusive. I tell you what.
Well, what I guess what I'm getting at is...
am I upset? Yes.
Yeah, a little
bit. My feelings were hurt.
I guess what I'm getting at is I can see why Kevin and Kate have a real big set of issues in their lives when being compared to Randall. Because there is this moment at the party where Rebecca says to Randall, if we had another kid, hopefully they would turn out as well as Randall. and like Randall is the one who is like well adjusted, despite mm-hmm. the fact that he's, you know, he's a black kid in a white family. Mm-hmm. He's adopted, mm-hmm. the whole shebang. He is the one well-adjusted kid who does all the traditions.
Well, he's just very mature and brilliant.
And the two natural-born kids don't. They don't do anything except, you know, worry about themselves.
They do the normal stuff for that age. But you're right. Randall was mature from the get-go, and he was intelligent. And he was mature for, gosh, even our age, for him to be like, yeah, but these are my three friends, and I'm really happy.
Right.
For him to be really happy, I think that that's something that, like, even as adults, people struggle with. Sure. I do when I'm like, wow, I used to have so many friends and now I have five.
Yeah, we were just having that conversation last night or two nights ago where you're just like, I don't hang out
with
anybody
gonna call?
Anymore.
Yeah,
like,
I have five friends.
Can't call Ghostbusters.
I don't even know their number. So Randall, young and old, did us well in this episode. Kevin's bonding time with Toby might be one of my favorite Toby moments of this season
great.
So far.
That's why I had to play that whole scene at the beginning.
Yes.
That was freaking awesome.
It was so good. Oh my gosh.
I loved the dichotomy. He's like, you know, he's like, we're not even in the same species, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, we don't have to, you know, get drunk and talk to models or hang out with your Hollywood friends. Mm-hmm. We could just, you know, talk about your feelings.
You know, you know, it's so funny because as they were having this conversation and Toby was saying, okay, pick someone, you out loud said it's going to be someone completely different.
Oh, yeah. I've been calling that now for a past number of episodes.
Yeah.
I'm so fracking glad that it's neither Sophie or what's the other jabroni's name there? What the heck's
Olivia
name?
Or
Olivia.
Sloan.
So, yeah, sorry. Sophie's the new girl.
Sophie is his ex-wife.
Yeah, okay.
And that, how amazing, because we've been seeing Kevin as being kind of this, you know, shallow man. Granted, we've been able to open up and learn about him.
Right.
But to know that he had a, you know, a lifelong love.
Right.
From literally being a child in that little scene where they're sitting next to each other watching The Princess Bride. And when the parents realize that this was all for Sophie.
Right.
Sophie likes Madonna, but Sophie likes The Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
It was all for Sophie, and he...
Who just happens to be Kate's best friend.
Awkward.
Oh,
awkward sauce.
God.
Was Kate the maid of honor? I hope so.
Ugh.
And that they got divorced. They were married young and divorced at 24. It kind of makes you wonder, like, what happened? When did Kevin begin his acting career?
Right.
You know, it's a lot of things that I'm now really interested about Kevin, because I kind of had this idea in my mind of his backstory,
right.
And it blew it out of the water. And I'm really, really excited now to delve even deeper.
Right. And also, you know, it takes that first scene that you saw Kevin in the show at all with mm-hmm. with the two girls in bed and everything, and he's like, hey, I'm 36, and he's already been married and divorced, and of course you don't know that at the time.
No,
but he's just going through, he's blowing through all of these women.
Yes,
because he's just unhappy inside, and mm-hmm. he realizes, oh my god, I made a mistake. I
yes.
think, you know, in what,
this isn't what I want.
Yeah, what led him to make that mistake? Or was it something that she did? Or is it something that maybe she did that he misinterpreted? Or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it gives so much more texture to why he is acting the way that he did. And also leaves a lot to unpack about the idea about his teenage years and his young adulthood. How did he attach himself to Sophie?
That's it. That's why I can't wait to fill in these puzzle pieces and get to really know.
And when his dad died, did she fill that void?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that why he attached himself to her?
Mm-hmm.
Is that maybe why their love burned out so quickly, because it was just too much? And it also says to me that Kevin was, they were all at definitely 15 when he died. Because if you remember, he had that scene with the lady at her husband's memorial, and he's like, yeah, man, 15's a tough age. Mm-hmm. 15 is tough. And he starts,
pickles
not
scene.
Only is he thinking about, yeah, the pickle scene, not only is he thinking about his dad dying, but he's also thinking about Sophie now at the same time, just giving more texture to it. And I still love that when she's like, who are you again? So I like that. I like what they've done here, because maybe Olivia and Sloane are girlfriend number one, girlfriend number two. Maybe all of their qualities are the exact qualities that Sophie had at mm-hmm. some point. Maybe she is the sexy, adventurous librarian girl, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, he can't, it feels like, care for someone the way that he wants to if it isn't Sophie, who, in his opinion, or at least the way that I see it, the way that it was written, is his princess bride.
Yep. As you wish.
And I think there was a lot of good layers there. A lot of good layers.
So let's unpack the last of the big three.
Okay.
Kate.
Yes.
So Kate, of course, Toby wakes up and she decides she's not going to do the gastric bypass surgery, of course. Mm-hmm. They are fianced. And yet, right away, she goes to a fat camp. I'm like, you don't want to celebrate a little bit or spend a little time together?
Yep.
And just kind of like walk around being like, we're engaged. Nope. She wants to take care of this. And you know what? Good for her. Changes. She's doing a whole bunch of changes at once. I just thought it was a little quick.
Very quick. And yeah. Toby's game. You know, he's like, okay, you know, I'll just hang out in New York. Like, that sucks. What? You know, like, whatever.
What is Toby's job?
Yeah, what does Toby do other than just...
How does Toby have this much time off where he's like, no problem. I've been here since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'll hang out in New York
right?
for
or
a little
bit.
Or
is it Christmas? Christmas. I've been here since... Okay, so he's... And like, okay, when Kate goes to camp in New York, it doesn't look like January in New York to me.
No, no. It looks much, 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 much
like,
later. That,
like
it's like
April.
May.
Yeah, May, April. So,
because up in New York, like even like June is kind of like rainy and gross.
I mean... Any of you who don't live in this area of the country, that's not what any of New York is like shortly well, after Christmas.
No, no. So, especially upstate New York.
Right? So I'm like very confused by this timeline and the attire. I mean, in one of the areas where they're meditating, it's literally this open air pavilion with trees. Kind of like what I went to in Bali, okay? In Bali, not New York. So yes, she wears a little hoodie. But the timeline is a little confusing to me. So maybe she did spend time with Toby that we don't know. Maybe it is the spring and they've had a few fianced months together. But of course, she goes to this camp and is punking about it, not too happy.
Freaking Duke.
The Duke.
What a dink.
Ah, goodness.
Duke the dink.
There we go.
That's what he's going to be coined from
now
on.
I mean, we've already like delved into him enough. I feel like he's such a skeevy character. I don't want to let him have any more moments of breath.
Do you think that Kate is going to... Do you really think they're going to push this love triangle thing?
I'm sadly afraid that they are.
I think they're going to too. And it's going to be stupid.
Well, on the flip side, Kate just had a breakthrough. Something that she has literally kept inside for 21 years.
Sure.
So that's a really vulnerable time.
Yeah, but...
I'm just nervous. I'm just saying that she is a vulnerable person. I don't want this to happen. I'm a little nervous about this next episode, but she just had a huge emotional breakthrough. She's breaking down and she's going to have a lot of stuff to unpack. And I'm really not happy that Toby's there. I am not happy that he's there. He isn't there. You understand what I'm trying to say.
I
wish he was at camp and not Duke. So... Is there anything you else need to say? I mean, we talked about it as our greats.
Do you have final thoughts? Do you have final thoughts, or do we have anything else to say for Kate?
No, I just don't do it, Kate. Don't do it.
Duke the Dink sucks.
He does.
What are your final thoughts for this episode?
I really loved this episode, and as I said, I have all the admiration for Jack and Rebecca, parents of the year, man. They did it. And even the special little ending, how they still whip all the old-timey stuff back out.
That was
the
really
banner.
Sweet.
That was so cute. Because, of course, it's Jack's birthday, too.
Right, exactly.
You're like, here they are, so busy throwing three different
parties.
Jeez,
I didn't even think
about that. It was his birthday, too.
I wonder if he got the dance.
I hope he did.
I hope he got the dance.
Oh, my goodness.
I would always want the dance. Right.
So, I mean, goodness.
Can I have the dance tonight?
What? It's not your birthday.
My final thought is, yeah, you know, I didn't even think about it being Jack's birthday.
Yes.
And, you know, how sweet it was having him do the gloves and the
oh
rhinestones.
My God, bedazzling it.
But watching the old videos. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, as we joke about the dance, it's probably no longer important to Jack. Mm-hmm. What's important is celebrating his family now. Mm-hmm. It's not just his. It's not just, you know, oh, Rebecca, I want this. It's... Let's all be together and let's all celebrate each other.
Yeah.
I that's probably the more emotionally mature thing to do, but I still would want to dance for my wife. Maybe that means I'm just not emotionally mature. I don't know. I also want to just, speaking of not being emotionally mature, I just want to pat myself on the back a little bit for calling the fact that it wasn't going to be girlfriend number one or girlfriend number two. It was going to be somebody else. I did not know it was going to be an ex-wife.
Yep.
But I thought it was going to be some kind of long-lost love. So, you know, I'm just going to say, yeah, husband's a pretty smart guy.
You are.
Pretty smart guy. Are you ready to close out this
yes,
bad boy?
I am.
All right, let's do it.
So, of course, we're watching this show well past its airing. And if you're listening and if it's fun for you, please feel free to share it on Facebook or Instagram or in a Facebook story. If you're not, like, too big about posting on your wall, screenshot when you're listening and post it in your Facebook story or your Instagram story and let people know to check us out. I especially want to thank Jocelyn TB, who wrote us an iTunes review saying, fantastic, this is us podcast. She was introduced through the Outlander podcast, which is beautiful. And this is a whole different level. You can feel the warmth between the two of us. She says we're very relatable in our discussions on marriage. And she says also, as someone who has watched This Is Us since the beginning, it's very fun to go back and listen to us recap the episodes and theories of what might happen. She looks forward to every episode. So thank you so much,
hi-yo.
Jocelyn. Guys, if you have time, please leave us a rating on review on iTunes. I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is Us Too.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.